Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that is what I'm here to do tonight, admonish us against sin. And the theme of this sermon tonight is the wages of sin. And we'll be reading and talking about what those wages are. I'm going to start in Alma, chapter 19, verse 1. This chapter is an admonishment of a father to a son who was a called minister of God. God called him to perform a work, and he stepped where he shouldn't have. And not only did he fall, but he caused other people to fall. And I'm going to start once again, Alma chapter 9, verse 1. This is Corianton. The son's name is Corianton. It says, father to son, and now, my son, I have somewhat more to say unto thee than what I said unto thy brother. For behold, have ye not observed the steadiness of thy brother, his faithfulness, and his diligence in keeping the commandments of God? We have examples like that in our lives. People who have had faith in God, and because they believe in him, they know the wages of sin, they also desire to serve him, they have obeyed his commandments and been good examples for us. But he had his brother as an example. It says in verse 2, behold, has he not set a good example for thee? For thou didst not give so much heed unto my words as did thy brother. Among the people of the Zoramites, you see, they went to preach to the Zoramites. They went to convert a people who'd been taught concepts of the world, the concepts of men, the precepts of men, the teachings of men. They went to this people to teach them the truth, what God has given us in his word. And it says in verse 4, now this is what I have against thee. Thou didst go on unto boasting in thy strength and in thy wisdom. You see, when things have happened to us that are good, when we've been blessed, somehow in the nature of men, we think somehow that we're responsible for those blessings and those temptations to be prideful and to boast come upon us. And for some of us, that's more of a temptation than others. Some of us are more tempted to be boastful and prideful. This was Corianton's temptation. And it says in verse 5, and this is not all, my son. Thou didst do that which was grievous unto me, for thou didst forsake thy ministry, and did go over into the land of Siron among the borders of the Lamanites after the harlot Isabel. Yea, she did steal away the hearts of many, but this was no excuse unto thee. This was no excuse for thee, my son. No, he was a called minister of God. He knew. He knew the wages of sin. And he also had been told over and over, and probably preached himself, that if he had set an example before people, that he'd cause others to fall. Yet he did it anyway. You see, Corianton was in a horrible situation because he knew what was right. Not only knew what was right, he'd preached it to others. And he'd gone against that. And he'd sinned with the harlot Isabel. Verse 6, thou shouldest have tended to the ministry wherewith thou wast entrusted. That's a key word there, entrusted. You see, each one of us have been called of God, called of God to serve him. Those of us who have taken upon that calling, those of us who've entered into the waters of baptism, have made a covenant with him that we'd serve him to the end. We've been entrusted with the word of God and his gospel, and we have been given the ability to serve him and to testify unto others of his great love that he's given to us. We have been entrusted by him to serve him. So was Corianton entrusted, but he was trusted not only with the ability and gift to serve him and calling to serve him, but to preach. And so he was entrusted to the ministry. It says in verse 7, "Know ye not, my son, that these things are an abomination in the sight of the Lord? To go against all of that and sin against God? Yea, most abominable above all sins, save it be shedding of innocent blood or denying the Holy Ghost. For behold, if ye deny the Holy Ghost when it once hath place in you, and ye know that ye deny it, behold, this is a sin which is unpardonable." And by the way, if any of you think you're at that point, if you still have hope, I don't think you're at that point. I think you probably have the opportunity to repent. "Yea, and whosoever murdereth against the light and knowledge of God, it is not easy for him to obtain forgiveness. Yea, I say unto you, my son, that it is not easy for him to obtain forgiveness." You see, Corianton had committed a major crime. He was a minister, and he had sinned with the harlot Isabel. And I want you to know that when you do something like that against the light, against your understanding, it is difficult to repent. First of all, because it's difficult to forgive yourself. Second, because you have allowed the devil to wrap his chains around you so much that he has taken you away and you have chosen day after day, moment after moment, to follow the devil. Because somebody who is one day walking in faith in God isn't just the next day going to walk and go sin with the harlot Isabel. But it happens slowly. Slowly, here a sin, there a sin. And we call it small sins, just like in the hymn that I sang. Whatever small sin, you know, those small sins. Now that I'm talking about those sins, a sister years back wrote in the Zion's Advocate, wrote a testimony, and I think I've told this in a sermon before. She had a dream. She was walking through a field, and she feared snakes, specifically big snakes, because she knew that if they bit her, the poison could kill her. And so she was looking as she walked through the field. She was being careful for those big snakes. She was vigilant for those big snakes. But as she walked, she forgot about the small snakes. And as she was walking, a small snake slithered up and crawled up her leg and bit her. And she woke up from the dream and asked God, what is the meaning of this? Well, he revealed it to her, that the snakes were sins. And that often we take care for ourselves about the big sins. We're concerned that we don't maybe go after a harlot or go get drunk or adultery or whatever those big sins might be in your mind, but that we don't take care of ourselves for the small sins. Anger, strife. Or, you know, in the Word of God, it says that he who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. That's one of those small sins. So we need to be careful for those small sins as well. Let's continue. in verse 10. And now, my son, I would to God that ye had not been guilty of so great a crime, this big sin. I would not dwell upon your crimes to harrow you, your soul, if it were not good for... Excuse me, let me reread that. I would not dwell upon your crimes to harrow up your soul if it were not for your good. But behold, you cannot hide your crimes from God. We can't hide what we do from God, what we think about. Christ said that he who lusts after a woman commits adultery in his heart. We can't hide that from God. He knows our very thoughts. He knows what we say, what we do. Verse 12, but behold, ye cannot hide your crimes from God, and except ye repent, they will stand as a testimony against you at the last day. And I want you to hear that. That is the theme tonight. If you sin and do not repent of your sin, it will stand as a testimony against you at the last day. And now, my son, I would that ye should repent and forsake your sins, and go no more after the lusts of your eyes, but cross yourselves in all these things. For except ye do this, ye can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. I want you to know that Corianton did repent, and later on, I think it's in, I can't remember where, in some later chapter, he was ministering again, serving God. So that gives me hope that anyone in this room who has committed sin can be forgiven. But there are requirements here, too, in this verse. It says that you repent and forsake your sins, and that's one. And two, go no more after the lusts of your eyes, but cross yourselves in all these things. And another, in the Bible and also in the Book of Mormon, it says, speaking of that very verse that I just spoke of earlier about lusting after a woman, it says, if your eye should offend thee, pluck it out. Those things that cause you, that trigger those temptations, stay away from them. Resist evil. Don't go back to the places that took you to this sin. Verse 14, oh, remember and take it upon you and cross yourselves in these things. Remember this again, these two requirements I say to you, that repent and cross yourself in these things. Deny yourselves. Resist evil. Remember this. Verse 15, and I command you to take it upon you to counsel your elder brothers in your undertakings. For behold, thou art in thy youth, and ye stand in need to be nourished by your brothers. This morning our brother Donnie mentioned that look for those mentors, those who are standing firm in Christ. Those brothers and sisters, sometimes they're older brothers and sisters in the church who maybe have gone through these temptations and sins, and believe me, they're there. The brothers and sisters that we have, you know, we don't announce so much our sins or the temptations we've been through to give glory to the devil, but many of our brothers and sisters who have been through the same temptations we have. And often, if you ask a brother or sister, they might have been through the temptation or they know somebody who has. So we should, just as he's counseling his son to counsel with his older brothers, we should also seek our brothers and sisters in Christ. And give heed to their counsel. Suffer not yourselves to be led away by any vain or foolish thing. Suffer not that the devil lead away your heart again after those wicked harlots. Behold, O my son, how great iniquity ye brought upon the Zoramites. For when they saw your conduct, they would not believe my words. And, you know, that's the fear I have. That something I say or do would cause somebody not to believe in the gospel of Christ because we've been called by his name and we have a responsibility to stand firm in faith in him, in his merits, to pull us through and to guide us. And you know, there's so much hope in him if we'll just believe and do. And now the Spirit of the Lord doth say unto me, command thy children to do good. You know, it causes me as a father, knowing the faults that I have and some of the sufferings of my children and the sins that they might commit because of my own faults as a father, causes me to wonder if he was going through the same thing here, because he was being firm here. Finally, it says, therefore I command you, my son, in the fear of God, that ye refrain from your iniquities, that ye turn to the Lord with all your mind, might, and strength, that ye lead away the hearts of no more to do iniquity. Can somebody remind me what verse I'm in? I lost it. Verse 20. Thank you. But rather return unto them and acknowledge your faults and retain that wrong which ye have done. Seek not after riches, nor the vain things of this world, for behold, ye cannot carry them with you. And I want to stop there, and I want to go over that a little bit more. But rather return unto them and acknowledge your faults. You know, some among us in the Church of Christ have committed sin, one of those big sins, we might call it. And praise the Lord, they stood up and confessed their sins and asked forgiveness of the congregation. That's what it's saying here. Well, it's not only saying that among the congregation, but among those, the unbelievers, who we might have turned away by our sin. But I praise God for their example. And then it says, seek not after riches. Why? Riches cause us to be prideful. They cause us to want, if we seek after them and not to do good, because in another place it says we can seek after him to do good. We must first seek the kingdom of God. But if we seek after him to serve ourselves, then that snowballs into sin. So it says here, seek not after riches, nor the vain things of this world. Vain things, they're things that we can look unto for support, to feel good, but they're worthless. You know, the wisdom of this world is a vain thing. Really, truly, if we think that if our jobs, if our career becomes something of an idol to us, it's a vain thing. If it's not to serve God, anything not to serve God is a vain thing. Seek not after riches, nor the vain things of this world, for behold, you cannot carry them with you. Turn with me now, please, to Luke chapter 16, verse 13. No servant can serve two masters. This is Christ speaking. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and yourself. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things that Jesus was speaking, and they derided him. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men. Because, you know, when we're seeking our own desires and our own will, we then try to justify that. Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abominable in the sight of God. I was speaking to a neighbor yesterday, or I think it was yesterday, and we were talking about that very thing. And I was telling him, I think our nation has changed so much. We used to be a nation of believers, people who feared God. You know, our nation's fathers came together to write the Constitution, I believe it was, they bowed down before God when they were having strife. They knelt down, kind of like we do sometimes in conference when there's strife. They knelt down before God and asked him his will, and that's why we have such a miracle of a document, because this nation was founded on people who had the fear of God. But we've come to such a point where we believe in this thing called the American dream, which is really nothing more than desiring vain things of this world. Maybe not what the dream started out being, but what it's become. And so it says in this verse 15, for that which is highly esteemed among men, those things that are important to the world, is an abomination in the sight of God. Turn with me now to Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants are ye to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, and that is the wages of sin, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. And that's the wages of obedience, righteousness, joy, peace. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness, unto holiness. Obedience. Do those things that Christ has commanded you in his word. For when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. You didn't know righteousness when you were servants of sin. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? In those sins that ye committed in the past, that you were cleansed of at baptism. What fruit was there in them? Have you had desires to return to them? Or have you returned to them? Remember that there was never any fruit in them. For the end of those things is death. But now, being free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit. And now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ, through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want to talk a little bit about sin and mention some of the sins by name, and these, of course, aren't all sins. As Benjamin, King Benjamin, said in his sermon to his people before his death, he could not number all the ways we can sin, but we know it when we sin or when we're tempted to sin. Vanity, adultery, pornography, anger, hatred, strife, bitterness, pride, arrogance, fear of men, gossip, contention, lust, envy, idolatry, anything that we can put over God or make more important than God, lying, truce breaking, covenant breaking, promise breaking, knowing to do good and not doing it. If you leave here tonight and decide that you're going to live the same way you've lived if you've continued in any of these sins, I fear for your soul. Same with me. I want to take you back many years to that sin that we talked about earlier that caused you to repent and be baptized. That sin that caused you so much sadness, remorse, that caused you to want to be clean. And you were willing to enter into a covenant with God to serve Him to the end of your life. Somewhere along that path, you tripped over something. Something that became more important to you than that covenant that you made. What did you trip over? And why has it become your God? Is it deserving of your worship? Our sister Margaret Gill, before her death, testified that cancer saved her. It caused her to put this life and her desires in perspective. She put God first. What will it take for you and me to put God first? Can we commit to it tonight? To put Him first? Can we put Him on His throne where He deserves to be tonight? Or will we wait till it's too late? The wages of sin, Alma chapter 3, verse 61. O ye workers of iniquity, ye that are puffed up in the vain things of the world, ye that have professed to have known the ways of righteousness, nevertheless ye have gone astray, as sheep having no shepherd, notwithstanding a shepherd hath called after you, and are still calling after you, but ye will not hearken unto his voice. Behold, I say unto you that the good shepherd doth call you. Yea, and in his own name he doth call you, which is in the name of Christ. And if you will not hearken unto the voice of the good shepherd, to the name by which ye are called, behold, ye are not the sheep of the good shepherd. And now if ye will not, are not the sheep of the good shepherd, of what fold are ye? Behold, I say unto you that the devil is your shepherd, and ye are of his fold. And now who can deny this? Behold, I say unto you, whosoever denieth this is a liar and a child of the devil. For I say unto you that whatsoever is good cometh from God, and whatsoever is evil cometh from the devil. Therefore, if a man bringeth forth good works, he hearkeneth unto the voice of the good shepherd, and he doth follow him. But whosoever bringeth forth evil works, the same becometh a child of the devil. For he hearkeneth unto his voice, and doth follow him. And whosoever doeth this must receive his wages of him. Therefore, for his wages he receiveth death, as to things pertaining unto righteousness, being dead unto all good works. The wages of sin. Alma chapter 19, verse 45. And then it shall come to pass that the spirits of the wicked, yea, which are evil, for behold, they have no part nor portion of the Spirit of the Lord, for behold, they chose evil works rather than good. Therefore, the spirit of the devil did enter into them and take possession of their house. And these shall be cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And this because of their own iniquity, being led captive by the will of the devil. Now this is the state of the souls of the wicked, yea, in darkness, and a state of awful, fearful, looking for of the fiery indignation of the wrath of God upon them. Thus they remain in this state, as well as the righteous in paradise, until the time of their resurrection. Verse 60. But behold, an awful death cometh upon the wicked, for they die as to things pertaining to the things of righteousness, for they are unclean, and no unclean thing can inherit the kingdom of God. But they are cast out and consigned to partake of the fruits of their labors, or their works, which have been evil, and they drink the dregs of a bitter cup. Verse 72. And now, behold, my son, do not risk one more offense against your God upon those points of doctrine which ye have hitherto asked. Excuse me, verse 70. No, 72. And now, my son, do not risk one more offense against your God upon those points of doctrine which ye have hitherto risked to commit sin. Do not suppose, because it hath been spoken concerning restoration, that ye shall be restored from sin to happiness. This world teaches, many churches teach today, that if you simply believe, you shall be saved. And yes, if you truly believe, you shall be saved. Because what happens if you truly believe? You obey his commandments. You walk after his way. You believe that Christ can bring you out of your miserable state, and you follow after him, and you do what he says. But you can't sin and leave it unrepented of and die and expect to be restored to happiness. 74. Behold, I say unto you, wickedness never was happiness. Verse 114. Do not endeavor to excuse yourself in the least point because of your sins. By denying the justice of God. But do you let the justice of God and his mercy and his long suffering have full sway in your heart, but let it bring you down to the dust in humility. You know, nobody can come to God in pride. Nobody can come to God and tell him what to do. Our God must be served in humility. He's a king. We need to treat him as such. That's why we bow down before him and kneel before him in services, not to look good, not to look humble, but because he deserves our reverence. The wages of sin. Revelation chapter 22. Verse 11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, this being Christ speaking, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Alma chapter 3, verse 89. And also the Spirit saith unto me, yea, crieth unto me with a mighty voice, saying, go forth and say unto this people, repent, for except ye repent, ye can in no wise inherit the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, the Spirit saith, behold, the axe is laid at the root of the tree. Therefore every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit shall be hewn down and cast into the fire. Yea, a fire which cannot be consumed, even an unquenchable fire. Behold and remember, the Holy One hath spoken it. And now, my beloved brethren, I say unto you, can ye withstand these sayings? Yea, can ye lay aside these things and trample the Holy One under your feet? Yea, can ye be puffed up in the pride of your hearts? Yea, will ye persist in the wearing of costly apparel and setting your hearts upon the vain things of the world, upon your riches? Yea, will ye persist in supposing that ye are better one than another? Yea, will ye persist in the persecutions of your brethren who humble themselves and do walk after the holy order of God, wherewith they have been brought into this church, having been sanctified by the Holy Spirit, and they do bring forth works which are meet for repentance. Yea, and will you persist in turning your backs upon the poor and the needy, and in withholding your substance from them? And finally, all ye that will persist in your wickedness, I say unto you, that these are they which shall be hewn down and cast into the fire, except they speedily repent. And now I say unto you all, all you that are desirous to follow the voice of the Good Shepherd, come ye out from the wicked, and be ye separate, and touch not their unclean things. And behold, their names shall be blotted out, that the names of the wicked shall not be numbered among the names of the righteous, that the work of God may be fulfilled, which saith, the names of the wicked shall not be mingled with the names of my people. For the names of the righteous shall be written in the book of life, and unto them will I grant an inheritance at my right hand. And now, my brethren, what have ye to say against this? I say unto you, if you speak against it, it matters not, for the word of God must be fulfilled. For what shepherd is there among you, having many sheep, doth not watch over them, and the wolves enter not and devour his flock? And behold, if a wolf enter his flock, doth he not drive him out? Yea, and at the last, if he can, he will destroy him. And now I say unto you that the good shepherd doth call after you, and if ye will hearken unto his voice, he will bring you into his fold, and ye are his sheep. And he commandeth you that ye suffer no ravenous wolf to enter among you, that ye may not be destroyed. And now I, Alma, do command you, in the language of him who commandeth me, that ye observe to do the words which I have spoken unto you. I speak by way of command unto you that belong to the church, and unto those which do not belong to the church, I speak by way of invitation, saying, come and be baptized unto repentance, that ye also may be partakers of the fruit of the tree of life. Brothers and sisters, I've spoken some of these words, harsh words, because you and I are tempted by the things of this world. We are in a time. Things are happening. You know, I've been watching the news about, we're calling it the swine flu in Mexico up here, but in Spanish they call it the death flu, because many have already died, and they were strong young people who have died in Mexico. And now it's in Texas, New York, California, Topeka, Kansas. They're saying it could be the next pandemic. We don't know. But we do know the judgments of God are coming upon this nation. And we are the people of the Church of Christ. And we need to stand firm in his faith. Dabble no more in sin. Keep his commandments that he's given us, that we may be that good example to others, that they might see his light through us, that invitation might go out to those people that we meet. So let's serve him together, and let's trust in him that we can do his will.